A couple of years ago, I was in downtown Seattle at 3rd and Pike waiting for my bus, and I noticed that people around on the street were looking up. So I started looking up too. I couldn't see anything to look at up there. So I asked the lady next to me, I said, "What are we looking at?" She says, "I don't know, I'm just looking at what everybody else is looking at." I never did figure out what it was, and I got on my bus and left while everybody was still looking up. Well, in the story from the Acts of the Apostles today, that's the scene. The apostles are sitting there looking up toward heaven. Jesus has ascended and gone into heaven and taken away by a cloud, and they're just, their mouths are open and they're just looking up there. Two men, who I assume are angels, come by and they say, "What are you looking? Why are you standing there looking up toward heaven?" I think I know the question, the answer to that question. The reason they're standing there with their mouths open like that is that they are stunned. Because their world has just been turned upside down. They've been given a whole new way of looking at things, and they're still trying to absorb what they've heard. Jesus, the risen Jesus, has appeared to them outside Jerusalem, just as he said he would. And seeing the risen Lord, they asked him that question that was on their minds. "Lord, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is now the time?" They thought that Jesus was going to come and restore the kingdom. And Jesus says to them, "No, this is not the time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of all the earth." I mean, what a shock. We thought you were going to come in fire and hailstones and judgment. We thought this was going to be the second coming, and we were waiting for you to come in and make everything right. Do whatever was needed to get rid of the bad guys and bring in the good guys. Jesus says, "No, that's not it. Now you are going to be my witnesses." The disciples say, "Who, us? You mean you want us to be your witnesses? We don't know how to do that. How can we do that?" So they're stunned. They're still trying to absorb this new idea. You know, when Jesus was with them, Jesus was a witness to the love and mercy of God. Wherever they went, Jesus showed the love of God through his healing, through his preaching, through his forgiving, through his feeding people. Jesus was the witness, and they were watching Jesus do this. But now that he's ascending into heaven, he is changing that. He is making them the witnesses to the love and mercy of God. Everything that he did, now they are going to do. Now they're going to have a new identity as witnesses. In the Gospel of John, we heard Jesus' last prayer to the Father. And he says, "You've given me these people in the world, and I've given them your word, and now they have it. And now they're going to carry it on while I'm gone." So the disciples are absorbing this news that now they are going to be the ones who are doing the work of Jesus. They have this new identity as witnesses. It's like in nursing school. The nursing instructor tells the students how you draw blood, and then demonstrates how to draw blood from one of the students, and then hands out the syringes and the needles and says, "Now you do it on each other." They say, "Who, us? We don't know how to do this." And she says, "I just showed you. Now you do it." So they get out the needles and they learn how to do it. And when they do that, something clicks in their brain, that part of their brain that says, They used to say, I am a student, now says, I am a nurse. They have a new identity. So the disciples' world has been turned upside down. Now they see themselves in a new light. This story is at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. It's kind of a hinge story. It holds together the Acts of Jesus in the Gospels and then the Acts of Jesus, or the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament. Acts itself is the story of how the Holy Spirit has spread the gospel from Jerusalem out into all the world, all the way to Rome. So this story at the very beginning of the Acts of the Apostles sets the agenda for the whole book of Acts, how the Holy Spirit sends the gospel into the world. So now the disciples are going to be witnesses of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that word witness strikes a little bit of fear inside me. It brings up all those ideas about buttonholing people and knocking on doors and telling my conversion story to try to make people accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I think we've all been the subject of that kind of witnessing, and we always can tell when there's a whiff of manipulation in the air. But I don't think that is what witnessing is really about. To witness means to tell about something that you have experienced and to tell about it truthfully. That's what happens in a court of law. We're expected to tell what we saw, the crime scene, and we're expected to tell it truthfully, because everything in the law system depends on truthful witness. It takes power to witness, not an external power, I think, but an internal power, an inner power to be able to be sincere, to be honest, to tell the truth. There are many ways to witness. A few weeks ago, I was at a clergy conference, and I was talking with Sarah Monroe. Sarah grew up in the Aberdeen area, and she went off to seminary, and she became ordained. And she went to Bishop Rickle afterwards, and she said, I would like to have a chaplaincy in the Grays Harbor area, the Aberdeen area, and I would like to minister to the poor and the homeless, because there's a lot here. After all the logging and the fishing has died out, there are a lot of people who are living in poverty, a lot of homeless. And Bishop Rickle said, well, I'd be glad to give you my blessing, but I don't have any money for you. I don't have any funds to make this happen. She said, that's okay. I'll find the money. And she wrote some grants, and she scrounged up some money, and she started this ministry called Chaplains on the Harbor. And she is there for the people who are in need. She visits the jails, and when someone has a hearing in court, she goes to court. She doesn't say anything, but she's sitting there as an advocate for these people, and you know, it makes a difference if there's a priest sitting in the seats when you're in the hearing. When they have a sweep of the homeless camps and they kick everybody out, she goes and she watches. She doesn't say anything, but she makes sure that they know that she's there. She's being a witness, and it makes a difference. There's a lot of ways to be a witness that don't involve being pushy. When we go to the Lord's Neighborhood Diner and we serve people who are hungry, we don't have to say anything. Just our very presence is a witness to the love and mercy of God. When Norma Tipton goes to the prison and teaches women how to sew quilts, she doesn't have to talk to them about becoming a Christian or her conversion story. Her very presence is a witness to the love and mercy of God. At the ballot box, when we write to our congressperson, when we go to the legislative offices in Olympia, all of that is a witness, our witness to the love and mercy of God. Our neighbor asks us to come over on Sunday morning for brunch. We say, sorry, I'll be at church on Sunday morning. It's a witness to the love and mercy of God. When we come to the altar rail and we stand together to receive communion, we are being witnesses to each other of the love and mercy of God. And that's important. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Who, us, Lord? Yes, even us. Amen.